Thank you, Pastor Jack. Thank God for the opportunity that I can be here to share God's word with you. And with that kind of sharing, I don't have to say anything more. It's really from the journey from bitterness to joy. What a joy it is to see you lighting candles and sharing a testimony. I don't take it lightly to be invited here. You know, you have to be invited to stand here and speak. You know, so thanks, Pastor Jack. I want to share with you my experience, most joyful experience in my life, was when I was when my first child was born. And not to say that my second child or third child is any less joyful. I know you're looking at me. because we waited a few years to finally we discovered that my wife was with child. And when the news arrived, it was just truly a joyful moment. And that joy, because it's a new life, and it was a really exceeding great joy, really just inexpressible and indescribable. And you can just look at Catherine, you know what I mean. And the kind of joy just radiates from her face. So that was great news, first to my wife and later and then to grandparents. So, but to share with friends is another challenge. Not ready to tell them, yet you can't contain your heartfelt joy in your heart. You don't know when to tell them. So my wife, Linda, went to work, and she was working in a bank at that time. And the next day, she sat at her desk and daydreaming, because she was just full of joy. And it took a very sensitive female co-worker to say, "Linda, why are you smiling ear to ear? Are you expecting?" You see, the kind of joy you just cannot contain in your own heart. Joy is not exactly happiness. Happiness is the word from, it comes from happens, which is an attitude or delight based on circumstance. Happiness is related to happenings. And happiness, happenstance is related to circumstance. And happiness comes from the root word hap, H-A-P, which gives you the idea of chance. And it may happen or it may not. And some people can be happy at a happy hour, or you may be happy at the Disneyland, and because it's the happiest place on earth. But some may not be happy during happy hour, or you may not be happy at Disneyland. But joy does not based on chance. It's not related to circumstances. And we can be filled with joy in our heart, no matter what the circumstances are, and no matter what the difficulties, no matter what the challenges are, whatever the problem, but very different from happiness. Joy has to be related to God. To have long-lasting joy, it has to come from Christ. It's not something that comes and goes. Joy is a gift from God. In Psalm 4:7, it said that you have filled my heart with great joy. You have filled my heart with greater joy. So in the book of Philippians, it's full of joy. It's the book of joy. In this short little book, joy is mentioned 16 times. Paul is truly an apostle that's filled with joy. If this is not December, I would be speaking in the book of joy, a book of Philippians. Since this is Advent, week of joy, I'd like to share with you what I have learned in this season on the good news of great joy. And Philippians mentioned joy 16 times, but the book of Luke mentioned joy 20 times. So let's turn to Luke. Let me see. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, 8 to 14, or actually 8 to 15. Now, I know it's printed in bulletin as well. You can follow along. This is on the good news of great joy. And let me read it for you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words. Lord, we pray that you'll open up our hearts, open up our ears. May we understand your words fully. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's a very familiar passage. I'm going to take this passage step by step, verse by verse. And it's all about good news of great joy. It's very fitting to our season right here. The passage begins with an announcement. It's really an angelic proclamation of the good news, the birth of Jesus Christ. There were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over the flocks. Since it's verse 3, it tells us that Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. The nearby must be somewhere nearby, close to Bethlehem. So the announcement is of good and great news of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior, that they have all been waiting for. So it's interesting that this proclamation is made to a bunch of shepherds in the field. Now, some of you make announcement of a newborn, engagement, or any kind of good news, you put it on Facebook or social media to families and friends. But however, if there's such an important announcement of a Savior being born, at that time, the religious leaders, the high priests, the teachers ought to be informed. And these religious leaders, they know the Old Testament very well. They were very well educated of law and the prophecies. And the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah was recorded hundreds of years ago by the Old Testament prophets. And nearly 400 years ago, prophet Malachi, which is in chapter 3, had prophesied of the coming Savior King. 700 years ago, prophet Micah 7 had prophesied the Savior would be born in a little village called Bethlehem, hometown of King David. Now, so the Savior for all people would be born here. And that's the fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament, one that all the people were waiting for. Now, my wife and I waited for 4 years before our first child was born. Now, these people waited for hundreds of years. The Messiah is finally here. And this is good news of great joy. And this should have been announced to the religious leaders and the teachers of law, not the shepherds. Shepherds are very lowly people. They have lowly profession. Shepherds were unskilled and uneducated. And the work is very simple. No need of schooling to care for sheep. In fact, but Moses was a shepherd for 40 years before becoming leader for the Israelites. David was a shepherd before taking on Goliath. And there's nothing wrong with the profession, but they would be the most unlikely group of people to receive such an important announcement. They really don't need to know. The best they can do is tell other shepherds in the field. So the first announcement of the birth of the Messiah, the greatest announcement in history, is to the lowliest, commonest of unskilled peasants in the Jewish social status. There's very special significance here. And Jesus came on earth to save the lost, the poor, the needy, the outcast, the afflicted, the captives, and the lowly people. And that's what Jesus is here on earth for. But let me show you what I want to take you through. This is a three-part, a message. There's a message, there's a Messiah, there's magnification in this particular passage. But first, maybe angels or messengers also. And Jesus came to seek the lost. So if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 29, it says, this is what Paul wrote. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were called. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And this begins right here in the first announcement to the shepherds who are lowly and humble. God used these shepherds to share the good news. Now take note that these are God-fearing people. These shepherds are God-fearing people because they are also living in anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. Because by verse 20, in the same passage, on verse 20, it says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds had been told and saw Jesus in the manger, and they returned glorifying, praising God. Now, they had been living with anticipation for the coming of a Messiah, and now they have heard and seen with their own eyes, and just as they have been told. They have to be filled with joy and excitement, praising God. In verse 9, an angel appeared. Angel hasn't appeared for 500 years. So after 500 years, an angel named Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. And you know who Zechariah is, father of John the Baptist. Several months later, he came back and appeared to Mary, Virgin Mary. So here, it's very possible this is the same angel who came back for the third time to appear to the shepherds. This is no name here. There's no name, but we can guess that it might have been Gabriel. So all of a sudden, here comes the angel. The sequence is always the same. When there was appearance of an angel, there's fear. There's no surprise that they were fear. They were in fear. And you and I would be in fear if we see an angel in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, and you know, they and their friends are just chilling in the field, keeping an eye on a bunch of sheep. And all of a sudden, an angel showed up. And you may think that, oh, that's kind of cool. But in reality, it was really a fearful experience. It's sort of like, what we say, Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost. Well, when Zechariah saw and the angel, he was startled, gripped with fear. And this is in chapter 1, verse 12. It says, gripped with fear. When Gabriel went to Mary, she was greatly troubled, but both were comforted and assured. Angel would bring a message for them. Same in the situation, the angel comforted them by saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And also the verse says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Wow. And this is simply mind-boggling. Because it's stunning. The Bible says no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. God is invisible. It doesn't have a form or a physical body that we can see. But God reveals himself from time to time. And you remember Moses, the book of Exodus. Moses wanted to see God in his glory. And God said, well, you cannot see my face. For no one may see me alive. No one may see me and live. No one can see me and live. So at the end, Moses was only able to see the back of the glory of God after God had passed by. And the last chapter of Exodus 40, when the Israelites finished building the tabernacle, the glory of God came from heaven and filled the tabernacle. And it was a monumental moment for the Israelites, because when God manifests himself, the Lord came down again when the temple was being when God manifests himself, they just ended up with worship and praise. And many years later, the glory of the Lord came down again when the temple was being completed. That was during the days of Solomon. And again, the presence of God is with his people. And this is how God revealed himself. So showing that his presence is with him. What follows is what? Worship, glory, and praise. And that's what follows. So when God revealed his glory, it means he shows his manifestation in light. He manifests himself in a brilliant and bright light. That's incomprehensible. And this time, it shows the shepherds, the presence of the God himself in human flesh is born and is here with them. And this is an important significance here. Here's a message. It's a message, right? I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The news is good and it will produce great joy. And this is not news that you read in a newspaper or on the internet. And it's not news about what the president is up to or what all this about sexual harassment. And it's not news about the fire in Southern California or nothing about 49ers. Sorry. This is good news which will bring great joy. This is good news which will bring great joy. And I look up the Greek word, which says it's eugelizo, all right? This is where we get the translation of the English word evangelize, which simply means to tell people the good news. So when the good news, which will bring great joy, bringing great joy, it really means evangelize. In the book of Luke, you find this quite often, because the book of Luke talks about proclaiming good news, preaching the good news, and bringing the good news. And the good news is from a loving God bringing a message to the people. And the good news is that he's sending a Savior into this messy world. And he's sending his Son to come to take away our sin. And that's the good news. The good news is an answer to the bad news. The bad news is that everyone has rebelled against God and his authority. And this rebellion of all people is what we call sin. And when we call sin, the consequence of sin is death. It's physical and spiritual because of God's justifiable death. And such a good news that there's only one who can come and take away that sin. That's good news. It's good news that all your sin are forgiven. And such good news will produce great joy. And this joy comes to those who receive this grace of salvation. And I just want to share with you, this is an important principle here. The message of good news bring great joy to all people. The message of good news brings great joy to all people. And so we need to sometimes ask ourselves, how often do we share the good news with our friends and families? Do we share some bad news or more bad news than good news? When we sit down for coffee or for dinner, do we talk more about bad news or do we talk more about good news? Do we talk more about things that would hurt others or do we talk about things that would really encourage others or edify each other? And the following verse that as we look into the Messiah, Luke, verse 11. Go down to verse 11. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born. Now, in the mid-19th century, there was an English hymn writer. The song began with his name is William Chatterton Dix, who wrote a famous Christmas carol. And the first verse, the song began with a rhetorical question that begins like this. What child this is who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping. I don't know if you remember the song, but if I kind of hum the tune, you might kind of jingle with your thoughts. What child this is who's laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping. You remember that? Okay. It's very, now listen to this. What child this is who's laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. Who's this baby that is born in the town of David to Mary and Joseph? Nobody seems to know at that time. And the second verse also begins with another question like this. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Why is he in this lowly manger of a stable where animals, where animals like horses and cattle and sheep are living? Who is this child? In this first announcement, the angel made it clear. He's a savior. He's Christ the Lord. The child is the Savior. This is the good news of great joy because a Savior has been born. And this Savior has come to save people. And this good news is for all people. So the Savior must be coming to save and to rescue and to deliver all people. So at the time when Jesus was born, the Jews were under Roman rule. Being saved or delivered may mean being saved from the bondage of the Roman governing authorities. Now, they wanted to have their own freedom. Now, in today's culture, there may be another kind of deliverance. And some may want to be delivered from their financial bondage. And some may have credit cards or loans. Or some, you just want to, in a difficult situation, you want to get out of. Maybe you are in a bad relationship. And maybe in a touchy situation, you just don't know how to deal with it. And you may have some kind of a health issue. It may not be not be an illness, but maybe it's really some chronic aches and pains that you're praying that you can't be you can be delivered from this suffering. All right, and any one of us may just be in the bind like this, but believe it or not, these are all secondary. All these are really empty holes in your life because these are areas of life that if you are a follower of Christ, you already have new life and have the power of Holy Spirit will help you to get through these difficulties. So the first and foremost of the Savior being sent is not for the problem for health or finance or personal issues. It's the problem of sin. It's the problem of sin. A Savior is sent to deliver us from the consequence of sin. Being just, he had said the wages of sin is death. And so everyone is included. Whether you have a broken relationship with a friend or a family, health issues or finance, it doesn't matter. We are all included. So the gospel is the good news that brings great joy. And this Savior is Christ the Lord. And he is the Messiah who has come to save the people. So the fact is that if you are delivered from sin and its power and its penalty, you will be free from the bondage of sin. Now, I really appreciate this morning's song, the second song. We were struggling, figuring how to sing this song. And it gave me a little pause to look at the lyrics. And sometimes we sing some songs, we got to examine these lyrics a little bit more carefully. And these are, I really appreciate the music team. They always prepare these wonderful songs that are really fitting. And I pulled out the lyrics here. And it says, come thou, there was a song that come thou long expected Jesus. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Free from what? It says, free from our fears and sins. Release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Isn't that amazing? How fitting was this song to today's topic here? So thank you. Always pick the right songs. And then, so once you have the power of with the Holy Spirit, you're going to get through all the challenges because once you are saved, you will get through the challenges. But when you realize that that's when you realize your sins are completely forgiven. And you will experience that tremendous great joy because there will be victory to continue living. By then you'll have a purpose in your life. The great joy will come along with it. It's that great joy of being in the presence of the Lord. This good news of great joy is the coming of the Messiah. Earthly name, Jesus, was really given Matthew 1:21 because great Gabriel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, Luke chapter 1:31, the angel also told Mary that name will be called Jesus. As you hear in verse 11, it only says that a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. His title is Christ the Lord. And he is both Christos and Kyrios. He's both Christ and the Lord. The baby is wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. There's nothing distinct about feature. There's no halo in the head. There's not going to be anything that would indicate where and whose baby this is. The shepherds were actually not told to go and look for the baby. The angel simply told them about a sign. When the shepherds heard that Savior was born, they did not need to be told to go look for the baby. That's because the sign is that the baby is wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Wrapped in cloths is very common. All babies would be wrapped in cloths. And even today, you wrap in cloths, keep the baby warm. But what makes a difference is the baby lying in a manger. This manger is really one of these troughs meant to feed animals. And if you are asked to go look for a newborn baby somewhere in San Francisco, you would have a hard time looking because you'd be looking for an open garage door where animals go in and out, and there's no Christmas lights around there. And the shepherds are expected to go and find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. There would not be another baby lying in a manger like this one, because that's the only indication that the shepherds were given. This baby is identified as Christ the Lord, the Messiah. The Messiah has already been prophesied of his coming. In the Greek Old Testament, it is Christos, meaning the anointed one. The Messiah is anointed because he's God's king. And he's in the line with David. And so when Gabriel, the angel, appeared to Mary, he said that the baby is the Son of the Most High, that is the Son of God. And he would sit on David's throne and will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his kingdom will never end. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's also the great high priest. Because in the letter of Timothy, Paul wrote that Christ Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And he's the anointed high priest that will lead man to the presence of God. And he's also the great anointed prophet. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, it tells us, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets of many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. The Son of God is the greatest of all prophets. Jesus Christ is the great high priest and the great prophet of God. And this is the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. The angel said, he's the Lord. He's Christ the Lord. So in the Western society, England today, we'll hear people addressing someone as Lord. The term is given to someone of leadership and authority, and a person of great honor and respect can be given the title Lord. And here in this passage, he's Christ the Lord with a capital L. And in fact, you will find that in this case, throughout the scripture, that Jesus is the Lord with a capital L. And he's not just human designation as Lord, but a divine designation. Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S in Greek, The root idea of Kyrios is legitimate sovereignty and legitimate authority. So when the angel said that this is Christ the Lord, he is God. During this Christmas season, we hear this message all the time. Isaiah chapter 9, 6, it says, "For to us a child is given, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called," four names, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Jesus is King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is the most fundamental and basic confession of the Christian faith. The good news is that Messiah is the anointed King and priest and prophet of God, who is none other than God himself. And the message is clear. The Messiah is here as the Savior has been born, and he is Christ the Lord. The Messiah of good news brings salvation to all people. So as we look down, moving down to verse 13, it tells us that suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favors rest." And this is magnification. This is magnification. This is the high point. This is the glory of God being magnified. The purpose of our life and our very existence is really to glorify God. And we exist to glorify and magnify God. The passage tells us that all happens just very suddenly. An angel is telling the shepherds the good news, and suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared. And this is crazy, because first you see an angel simply appears out of nowhere, and he tells them not to be afraid and share about the good news, and they haven't even calmed down yet, and here you are, a great company of heavenly hosts. Probably an entire army of heavenly hosts, maybe a big crowd of angels surrounding Gabriel. And this is really an amazing scene. It's shocking. So one angel is enough to scare them, but now we have a multitude of angels, and so it's actually terrifying. A host of angels on earth is not common here, because you just don't find this happening too often. So the angels appeared and were praising God, and they were praising God because this is good news of great joy. And there's such a good news of, and they were glory in the high, glory to God in the highest heaven on earth, peace to those on whom his favors rest. They were praising God because Jesus has been born. And they must know Jesus is the Savior and the King and the Lord. And they must know the fall of man and that the people need a Savior. They know of the glory of the Most High God in heaven. When they hear that God the Father has decided to send the Son Jesus Christ to go on earth, they praise God. They praise God in great company. They praise God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favors rest. Glory is to God in the highest place. But on the lowly earth, peace is being granted. It's a peaceful relationship with God and man. It's the inner harmony reconciled with God through Jesus Christ for those who believe in him. This kind of praising by the angels can be found again in the book of Revelation 4 and 5. And you're going to read in 4 and 5, Revelations, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And there are other passages in the book of Revelations. See, and then you see how the living creatures, the four living creatures and 24 elders just fell down and worship and praise. The message of Messiah brings magnification to our God. The message of Messiah brings magnification to our God. So the basis and the content of this great joy is the Christmas message that Messiah has come to redeem his people. And this brings magnification and glory to our Heavenly Father. As one we continue to read the book of Luke, you're going to soon discover the message of joy radiates in the mind of Luke. Because in other passages of Luke, the scripture has recorded that there were indescribable joy beginning in chapter 1 when Zechariah and Elizabeth were told that there will be a baby born, a baby called John, and John, being the forerunner of for Jesus, had already brought joy. In chapter 2, baby leaped for joy in Elizabeth's womb when cousin Mary visited her. In chapter 10, there was joy when 72 disciples Jesus had sent out returned with great news. Verse 11, Jesus also said, through the Holy Spirit with joy, praising the Father. In heaven, angels rejoice over one sinner. If you remember, book of Luke, chapter 15, there was three stories: lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. All points towards rejoicing with Christ over the lost returning to the Father. In fact, in chapter 19, book of Luke, again, Zacchaeus rejoiced in welcoming Jesus to his house. The effect of Jesus' ministry and preaching is to bring great joy. And there was so much rejoicing and the miracles that they have witnessed. And in the end of Luke chapter 24, the disciples worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God, bringing magnification and glory to God. So from the book of Luke, you can see the true joy comes from Jesus Christ, from his birth, his ministry on earth, his power reconciling people. His death, his resurrection, bringing forgiveness of sins, his exaltation, anticipation with great joy to unite with all his people in the heavenly kingdom. And today, you may have already found a true joy in Jesus. However, I would not want to keep that joy just to myself. And we would want to share that great news with great joy to other people. I start telling you about my joyful experience of having a baby. And because now the greatest experience of joy would be to be able to introduce someone to Christ, lead the person to a Bible study group, watch this person grow in God's word and witness and how he's leading and teaching others to grow in Christ. That's exceeding great joy in my life. Because that joy will bring eternal life. It's eternity. The children, grandchildren that we have, this is the life on earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the message of Jesus Christ that brings great joy. And we are thankful for how you have saved us. And we pray that as we go on from there, that we can truly share that great news and that good news of the Messiah to our friends and families, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.